Good morning, good morning. Good to see all of you. Glad that you're here. And do want to extend those same thoughts about wanting to remember those who have given their all for us. I must be a twin with Brother Robert. My dad went to Germany too. And he came back, praise God. And as a result, me and three siblings, so, and many, many more as a result of that. But thank God for those who gave their all. They were fully hoping to come back home and be with family and loved ones as well, but they gave their life so that we might have the blessings that we enjoy here in this country, the freedoms that we enjoy, and so much more. So I do want to extend blessings to you this Memorial Day weekend, and hopefully you'll be able to take time tomorrow. What is the purpose of Memorial Day? Well, to remember those who gave their entire life and died for the purpose of granting us this privilege of America, United States of America, and the freedoms and all the blessings that we enjoy. In my childhood, I don't know how many of you have this tradition, but we did not only just remember the fallen military, but we also remembered the rest of the family who had passed away, and we would go out and raid the flower garden and put together bouquets and take them to the cemetery to decorate all the graves of family members, and there were a lot of other people out there doing the same thing. Now, being about 1,000 miles from home, that's not one of those things on my list anymore. But for many other people, it means that it's the time to begin vacations. And we have some people out on vacation this weekend, out enjoying to being together with family, loved ones, and hopefully they are taking time to reflect on God as well. And it's also time for family to have food and picnics and gather together. And I trust that all of you are doing those different types of things. I know that on the local level, some of the families aren't able to get away yet. School still has about one more week to go. And so they're trudging through, trying to get to the last day and keep a good attendance record. And Ilea, you better be in class Tuesday. So anyway, it's good to have Ilea back. Continue to keep her and her families in prayers. They lost their grandfather, and our hearts go out to you. For me, when our folks said, we're going to take a vacation, boy, our eyes lit up. Any of you ever have that experience? Vacation was going to be something good and enjoyable. It was like a magic word when I was a child. And it meant that we were going to go on an adventure. We were going to go see new places, do new things. We were going to get to reunite with family and relatives and friends. And as you know, as soon as Dad got off of work, I remember many times we would load up the car. We lived in southwest Idaho. A lot of the family, extended family, lived in central California, which was an eight-hour trip. Well, as soon as Dad got off of work, we would load up that car, and we would hit the road, go out the middle of the deserts of southwest Idaho, Oregon, Nevada, finally get into California about midnight, to see the family, and they were there with open arms, grandpa, grandma, aunts, uncles, cousins, and I don't know about your family, but ours were a hugging bunch and a kissing bunch, and there was all kinds of hugs, kisses, and expressions of love for one another after all the months of absence from each other. Now, there were other parts of the family when we got to see them that it wasn't quite that expressive. It was more of the hugs and the handshakes and how are you doing, but those special ones got those extra expressions of love, even kisses, all kinds of kisses. I don't think I ever did kiss my dad's mother. She was kind of a unique individual by the time I grew up, and she was kind of a, you stay there, I'm here, we're fine. So every family is different. Every situation is a little bit different. And you have your own stories, your own experiences. Every person in this world is affected by the brokenness of sin and corruption. And there's strife and there's distrust, there's division. And all of these are tools of Satan that he loves to use, especially in families. But Christ came to change that. Christ came to unite us in his divine love. He's given us the transforming power to bring broken families, broken people, to become the very children of God. That is a blessing that a lot of people are craving, but still have not discovered. God wants us to learn to do his will, his way, to be his children in all aspects. Now remember, and I remember, we are all sinners, but we are redeemed by the blood of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us the ability to change into the person that he wants us to be filled with divine love. Doesn't the scripture teach us that God is what? He's love. And it is a perfect love that we need to learn. Unfortunately, God's love has been perverted in many ways here in this world, so we need to learn the godly love from Scripture that God wants us to practice. Through him, we receive his Spirit. All of us receive of the same Spirit, and in the unity of the Spirit, in the unity of his church, we are to be those one people, one family, all the believers together. Now, we don't know every member's name. I've been challenging you the last few weeks. If you haven't learned everybody's name yet, grab one of those directories, put the picture with the person, and those who don't have pictures, we need to write their names in there and make sure we start learning about each other, because we, in Jesus Christ, are how many families? Just one family. And we need to learn about our brothers and sisters of faith. Do we know every person in the world who is of faith? No. That'd be quite a challenge, wouldn't it be, to learn everybody's name? Do you think we'll learn everybody's name in heaven? I think so. We will know all of the family. Somehow God will give us the ability to know all the family. I find it interesting. Peter, James, John recognized Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, called them out by name. How did they know them? Those two guys have been gone for centuries. And yet they recognized them immediately. We don't know all the members of Christ's body, but in Jesus Christ, we are to be one close family. In Christ, all who believe and serve him become, the scripture uses this term, one building. Not several buildings, but one building, one body. There are several terms that scripture uses as an analogy of what we are to be. The love of Jesus Christ is to rule our thoughts and to rule our actions, to rule our desires, to rule everything about us, even in the way we greet one another. As God's children who are learning to love as he loves, we must move from that unloving, selfish, self-centeredness that we have that afflicts us, the distractions that I've got our minds on something else. We see somebody and it seems like their mind is in another world, and they look at us and their mind is in another world, right? Everybody's looking at each other. Do we even care about each other? Or are we just wrapped up in our own little universe, taking care of our business? We need to become a person of kindness and all the other attributes of righteousness. And this influences our interactions and, once again, how we greet one another. Before we go any further, let's ask God to open up our mind to understand better of His will, His way. Thank You, Father, for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to gather, the freedom to do so. And again, Father, we thank You for those who have given their lives so that we might enjoy this freedom. We pray that we can continue to pass this blessing on to the generations to come, that they would use this freedom to worship and honor You, to grow in knowledge of Your will. So, Father, in regard to our study today, we ask that You would open up our minds to consider what Your Word has to teach us today. And, Father, it may challenge us in some ways. So, Father, I just pray that we would be led by Your Spirit to practice the things that You want us to do, to show that we are Your children, and to love those around us as You have called us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are ending up the final passages of the book of Romans. We've been studying through the book of Romans. We are in that final chapter, chapter 16 of Romans, as we look at our text today. And then I'm just going to be reading some of the verses that we have in this section. We're starting Romans chapter 16, verse 3, and I'm going to just read a few verses and then skip down to verse 16. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphanitus, for my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you." Now I'm going to skip the rest of the greetings in the following verses. Go down to verse 16. "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." There's a lot of greetings right there. And you still don't have that Greek name down right. I'll let you instruct me later. Looking at this passage, we wonder, so, Dave, why did you pick out this as the topic? Greet one another. Well, let's look at the Scripture. Scripture orders believers to greet one another. It's not an option. There's an order there. Did you see that in verse 16? Greet one another with a holy kiss. In this passage, Paul sends greetings to 28 individuals and 5 groups. So what's the big deal about that? I would suggest to you part of it is that paper was expensive. Why is Paul taking inches of paper to list individuals specifically just with a statement of greetings to them? And yet he takes time. Paul made space for greeting individuals as well as groups. Now, we don't know what the cost was, but papyrus rolls and pages of parchment required large amounts of labor, and so they would be expensive to produce. I did a little research, and according to the Folger Shakespeare Library, it reports that this is from the internet, and everything's true on the internet, right? Let's not get into that. But according to their library report, in the 1600s, we're talking about just a little over 400 years ago, the average use of paper by the English people was probably about 6 pages of paper per year. 6 pages of paper per year in the 1600s. Because paper was what? Expensive. Now they report in that little article that if you don't mind stopping eating and you don't mind stopping paying rent and paying for clothes and all those other important things, you could probably, in a day's wage, if you were well paid, you could buy 75 pieces of paper with one day's wage. That's if you don't want to eat and don't want a place to live in. So paper was one of the least things that you wanted to be out spending your money on, unless it was really important. To us, paper is cheap. But for Paul, paper was an investment in the lives of his co-workers and his fellow believers, encouraging them in God's truth. And so he brings about this lengthy space of greeting as he closes out his letter to the church at Rome. Looking at this, the Romans are commanded to greet one another with a holy kiss. How many of you are getting excited there? You mean I have to kiss Esteban's hairy face? I think back to when I was growing up. I loved my dad, and I remember in the mornings I would always kiss him on the cheek. But I remembered his face because he had a heavy beard. And I remember that hair prickling my lips as I kissed my dad. I didn't kiss him on the lips. Don't misunderstand me. I kissed my mother because I loved her. I even kissed my sister. Wow. That took a lot. My brothers. We were a loving family, and we expressed our great deep love for one another through kisses on the cheek. And I think I inherited that from probably my mother's mother. She was a very loving woman. The Romans are commanded to give each other a holy kiss. The word holy means unique, separate, a different kind of a kiss. Paul repeats this command to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians, and also to the church at Thessalonica. Now, the Apostle Peter also commands people to give each other a kiss, but he calls this kiss of believers to greet each other with a kiss of love. And he uses the term agape. This is the godly love, the unselfish love, the giving love that doesn't expect something back. And this love is described to us in our New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's not a sensual love. It's not expecting something back. It's because I care about you with all my heart, with all my being. The Apostle Paul includes greetings from 8 co-workers in this passage that we did not read. Helping those men that were helping him, he gives them space to extend their greetings in verse 21 through 23. Every Christian is important and has a job to do in the kingdom of God. Their greetings were just as important as Paul's greetings. This also fulfills the command of the Apostle John, which he states in the book of 3 John, verse 15. And the Apostle John's words are, quote, "The friends greet you, greet the friends by name." Greet people by name? Why? Is that important? Do you like it when people remember your name? I would suggest yes. We appreciate being known by name. Christians are to greet every believer they meet, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 21 and 22, we are told, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Interesting. Even Caesar had believers in Christ? Yes. Our Savior unites all of us as equal family members. We are all one family. We are all children of God. Sincere greetings help build the unity in the body of Christ. Our greeting shows we appreciate that person as a fellow child of God, as a brother or sister of faith. Sincere greetings help eradicate the pride and the arrogance towards one another. Greetings lift up the discouraged, the frustrated, and the downtrodden believers, reminding them that they are valuable to God and to us as well. They are valuable in the eyes of God as children of God, who has a place prepared for them where they will live for how long? Forever. We are all important before God, and we need to express that love for one another as God has expressed it to us. God knows us by name, doesn't He? He gave us life, and the Scripture says He has our names recorded in His books. With over 40 various greetings in the book of Romans itself, and nearly 20 other passages ordering and referencing greetings, we see that greetings in Christ are important. How should culture influence our Christian greetings? You know, every community of people worldwide has customs and they have traditions that deeply are ingrained in the way they act, in their, what they do, what they practice between people. Some of these may be broken by the teachings of Jesus Christ. I asked Brother Ted to read a passage this morning. You're all probably wondering, that's a strange passage. But the point was, Jesus appreciated the greeting and the appreciation from that woman who was considered to be a sinner, or as the person who was considered to be righteous, didn't even give a greeting to Jesus coming into his house. And what was the result? Her sins were forgiven. Jesus righteously broke customs several times. There's also the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria. You don't talk to a Samaritan, and you especially don't talk to a woman at a well in the public according to custom. But Jesus lived righteously, and He led her and her village to Jesus, to life, to salvation. The woman caught in adultery, thrown at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, who is perfect, had every right to stone that woman to death. But what does He do? He frees her to go and sin no more. Jesus did not function by what culture demanded. Shall we function by what culture demands? Not always. Function the way that shows you are obeying God's will. Have love for God and for people. Agape love, the sacrificial, the serving love, caring about the needs of other people. Again, the 1 Corinthians 13 love should be clearly shown by our actions with every believer, whether they are male, female, old, young, wealthy, or poor. They are all part of the family of God, and they are to be treated with kindness and with purity and with love. Use the right form of displaying God's love. Now, Paul spoke of the holy kiss. Peter spoke of the kiss of love. agape love. The world doesn't understand always this agape love. The world is thinking constantly of sensuality, of what can I get, how will it benefit me? But agape love is, how can I help you? What do you need? What will restore you? Let's practice God's love. A kiss of this nature is unlike the common everyday kisses used by people. You have a great, I'll use the term, feeling for that person. You want the best for them. Now, it must reflect the nature of God. It is to be righteous, if you were to use that. Many countries practice greeting others with kisses on the cheek, on both sides of the cheek, many, many kisses. But in other cultures, you are expected to stand straight. And in some places, you aren't even allowed to look at the other person as you talk with them. Our culture, there's a whole variety. American culture, because we're a mixture of all kinds of people. Most people are comfortable with shaking the hand or something else. What form is the most honorable way of showing God's love in the situation you are in that shows that you are a godly person? And those will vary. And quite often it depends on the person you're relating to. Continue to function as the unified body of Christ. Build stronger ties of love with every member of the family of God. Be sincere in getting to know and encouraging each other. Let your greetings be one that honors Christ and strengthens the other person. Sincerely greet others. Live in Christ so that He is clearly seen in you. Christ is the one who gives us life, purpose, unity, blessings, and so much more. He's the only source of help and hope and heaven. Let's live for Jesus, wherever that will lead. The new life given by Christ is desired by all the people in the world. They are searching for this because God knows how we were put together. And part of that is wanting attention and appreciation for who we are. Living by the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5:22 and 23, you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love is first on the list. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these qualities that the Spirit gives us does not violate any of the laws of any culture. Satan is working, though, to pervert all that. He's working overtime trying to imitate the fruit that God gives to us to deceive people with the fakes. Just in the last couple of weeks, I think it was about a week ago, it was just recently, two popular football players were asked to give advice to college graduates on how to enjoy life. One of them chugged a can of beer and recommended party. That's how you enjoy life. Party. A lot of people in the world are looking for fun. Party. What did the other football player say? He said, you need to find your purpose in what God ordained for you according to the Scripture. Which one gets the critic? Which one gets the recognition? Well, they both got recognition, but the person who led people to put their faith in the Scriptures is criticized as, who does he think he is? You will get criticized for living your faith. Are you ready for that? We need to be. Our greetings should also be guided by the Spirit in us. How many of you habitually say, "Hello, how are you?" when you really don't care how they really are? I'm guilty. We ask the question, "How are you?" when it's the least thing on our mind. We really don't want to take time to find out how somebody is. And we have to fight that. Or we courteously say, "It's good to see you," when inside you're thinking, "I really didn't want to see you. I really didn't want to bump into you. And I really don't want to take time for you. In fact, I'm really mad at you." And through all of this, God is watching. He's examining our actions, our reactions, what we're thinking about. Beware of falling into the mundane, half-hearted motions or comments that do not mean a thing to you, because God will remind you on the day of judgment. Thank God for grace through Jesus, but don't abuse God's grace. Give credit to Christ for the transformation that He has made in you, making you into God's child, perfecting you through the blood of His own Son. Jesus Christ's blood washes away our sin, our failures, our disappointing times before God. God gives us His Spirit to bring to us a new life. And that Spirit is developing each one of us as a child of God. To God be the glory for adopting us and making us new creatures in Him. What are some practical ways that we can try to start developing and practicing the will of God in our greetings? First of all, we need to sincerely care about the person that we're talking to. As we meet somebody, get our mind focused on them, the people you see, the people you talk with. Care about them. Intentionally lay your concerns aside and push yourself to learn more about those people that you're talking to. The people around you are hungry for attention. Show God's love with your concern. Start building a bridge between the two of you. In American culture, displays of our sincere Christian love are usually accepted, expressed through your heartfelt greetings, your handshakes, for some people hugs, and even for a few people, a kiss of godly love shared between the two. We have to guard against putting ourselves or others in uncomfortable or compromising situations. Temptations, sexuality is a major issue in our culture. Male and female relations have their limitations, whether you're married or single. And so we do have to be careful of those things. We are to not give any appearance of evil as we practice God's righteousness. So keep your mind on godliness. Guard against that sin. Jesus was accused of improper behavior when in reality He was showing righteous love to the many people who were seeking help. So prove yourselves to be doers of the Word, led by the Spirit of God. Do you think our culture needs more godly love? Do you think our church needs more godly love? We need to express love, the love of God, for one another even more. And the people around us will wonder, what is going on over there? Now, the early church was accused of bad things. Now, we can't control all people's thoughts. But we can keep serving God through Jesus Christ. Let's do that. Let's truly love one another in Christ. Even in our, hi, how are you doing? It's great to see you. I'm glad you're here. Brother, sister, what can I do to help you? I've got a burden. Can you help me? Are you willing to help me? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for this simple lesson in Scripture that quite often we just run by and say, oh, that's a waste of time, a waste of space. But Father, you have these lessons for us that we need to remember that we are your children and we're all part of one family. So Father, help us to develop our appreciation and our love and our concern for each other even more, even in our greetings. We thank you that you will greet us with open arms through the redemption that Jesus has provided. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for hope. Thank you for those who have loved us. Help us to pass it on to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.